Well, I heard that it was supposed to rain with amounts of rain in biblical proportion. Don't you love that when they say that, in biblical proportion? I guess it's like the flood or something. But it hasn't happened, and so it looks like our weather is half decent so far. So we're glad that you're here. I say that to say we're glad that you're here, and may the Lord bless you and bless His Word in your life. I'm want to read from Mark's Gospel. Chapter 10, verse 28 to verse 30. Thank you. One of the things, the other week, I was thinking and actually yielding my life, at least trying to yield my life more to the Lord in greater ways to the Lord, that I lay hold of all the things that are good and all the things that are right that God wants me to have. So I got thinking about what a disciple is. What is it? What is a disciple? Better yet, for me, it was, am I a disciple? I mean, am I honestly a disciple of Jesus? We're not talking about being saved or born again or, a child of God. I'm assuming the cross took care of that and that Jesus loves you and wrote His name in the Lamb's Book of Life and He cares for you. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking a matter of heaven or hell. I'm talking about being all that the Lord would want us to be, that if I belong to Him, then how does that reflect? What does that look like, belonging to Jesus? What does that look like? And I wrote a couple of questions down. What is following Jesus Christ? Is it, and I think you know the answer, and I know that, is it simply putting your hand up in an altar service, and somebody says, is there anybody here that would like to receive the Lord, and you put your hand up? Is it coming forward, kneeling, maybe shedding some tears? That would probably be nothing wrong with that. But is that what it's about? I know that when I mention about full discipleship, we get kind of puzzled looks and people, you're not really mean, really giving your all. You must mean symbolically giving your all. That sell all. You don't really mean sell all. You mean if you have, and pretty soon, the things that you read about that Jesus said really become nothing. They don't really have any impact whatsoever. And I thought, that can't be the way it is. I think the literal following of Christ is seemingly no longer necessary. Right? No longer. We never call to listen, Jesus, Bonhoeffer, for some reason I seem to be talking a lot about him, but Bonhoeffer said God would call a man to come and die. An invitation to come and die. I thought, now we're talking. This has got something more to it than that. I think that what people are called up to mostly when we give an invitation, it usually has to do with worldliness and with sin. Doesn't it? You kind of think when the last time you heard people inviting someone to come and follow Christ, it was about sin and it was about just turning away from a worldly lifestyle. And I guess there's something good about that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm wondering more about the still small voice that still says to me after all these years of knowing Jesus, that He still calls me, He says, follow me. I want you to follow me. Doesn't matter if the rest follow me or not, I want you to follow me. And when I kneel before Him, and when I lay my life before Him, I know that is still, and maybe it'll be till my last breath, maybe it'll be to your last breath, that voice will say, I want you to follow me. So this is a whole life proposition. The small voice. And because I don't think everybody, it doesn't come en masse. It just comes when you're sitting, maybe even right here this morning, and you will hear afresh. I don't know whether there's an actual voice, but there'll be a sense of it that you would give all, whatever, say, Lord, whatever you want, you have, I give to you. But I know that if each one of us would pray, Lord, I want to follow you, the Lord may say, are you sure? Are you sure you really want to follow me? there may be some hesitation here. You may not be able to follow me the way you want to follow me, because there may be some things that you might have to let go. Just between you and me, the Lord would say that. So there's usually some small thing. And whatever the Holy Spirit detects, that's whatever he puts his finger on. That, to me, is a very, very important thing. Now, my point is, many of them said they would like to follow the Lord, but, so let me read it. Let me break in now. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. By the way, the background is the rich young ruler. And Jesus said to him, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you can come and follow me. Well, he said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. I've been keeping your law all these years, right from my youth. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. Now, this is not in your notes there, but it's in the scriptures. And loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. And I guess I'm suggesting here this morning, there's no doubt one thing that when Jesus says, come and follow me, that you can't come and follow him because of that one thing. One thing. You lack one thing. And Jesus loved him. He's not mad at him. He's not upset at him. He just said, this is what for you to follow me, this is what you'll have to do. By the way, he didn't say that to everybody. He said it to him. And what he says to me this morning, he may not say to you, but he will say something to you about this. Now, we drop down. That's the context. Verse 28, Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Now, everything. We've left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many of those who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Wow, what is this calling like? What is it about? How will it shape for my life? You know, Jesus said, I want you to follow me, but there are some things here. Oh, and for you, there may be something you'll have to give up. And I say, well, you see, here's the battle is always, no matter what it is that comes our way that God will call us to, here is the problem. My claim to my right to myself. My claim to my right to myself. That where it's not a matter of do I give this up or do I give that up or do I surrender some other thing that I can think of, and you know, like Lent. Many people are so happy because they give up pickles or something, and they don't even like pickles, but I gave up pickles for Lent. Broccoli, I gave up broccoli. Fortunately, I was able to give up broccoli. But my claim to my right to myself, you can, well, sure, Lord, I'll give you that, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you that, and I'll give you that, but I want to be in charge. I want to be able to make some choices here, whether you're not just willy-nilly we're going to start following. And Jesus said, well, maybe then you can't be my disciple. You can be a child of God. You can be born again, but you maybe cannot be my disciple because you have not been willing to follow all. And see, we say, well, our mind says it couldn't be that way, that he wants us to lay everything down. He couldn't possibly mean that. How could he mean that? That would be really radical. Yeah. That'd be really radical if I said to the Lord, Lord, I relinquish all claim to myself. I no longer will tell you what, where, when, and how. You tell me what, where, when, and how. You tell me. You tell me where areas of my life that I need to lay down here today in order to advance to the greater thing. You see, that's why when if somebody could come from another generation and show up at our churches and say, well, what is the quality of discipleship going on in your church? We'd have to hang our heads, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we say, well, this is where, is everybody flat out for me? No, not really. Is everybody fully dedicated? No, not many. Few, thank God, few. But not too many. Why not? Did I not call you to follow me in wholehearted devotion? Yes, Lord, you did. But Lord, you see, we have insight. We're pretty sophisticated. We get that. But we got stuff we got to look after. This is a different age. You had no trouble back then. There was nothing to do anyway. But now we've got stuff and things, and so surely you're not asking that I would give up the right to my life, that I would not make the choices, but you would make it. Are you saying that? And I believe here this morning that that's exactly what Jesus is saying. It's not the same. It's different for Vic than it is for me, or different for you over here, or John, or somebody else. It's different. It's not one size fits all. It's simply in your heart of heart, the still small voice comes to you, and Jesus said, I want you to go flat out for me. I want you to yield completely to me. Well, what about my reputation? You don't want to look too off base, do you? The Lord said, Don't worry about that. He said, besides, he said, even if your house was given up, and even if that was given up, and a few other things, and if you've left brothers and sisters, if you have indeed done that, don't worry about it. Because he said, in this life there will be some things, and with persecutions. But he said, don't worry about that. He said, because it'll all come back to you, and in the end, in eternal life anyway. So Peter says, Lord, we left all. Apparently they hadn't. Jesus said, no, because if you had, he said, even if you had, he said, there's things that would come back to you. I think that's our big fear, is that what if the Lord told me to give up my house, or what if he told me to go somewhere, besides here in North Vancouver? What would that mean? Well, you'd have to work that through. But it may not be the same call for each one of us. But there will be that small voice calling us. And so, Mark chapter 4, verse 34, there's interesting, turn with that if you have your Bibles there, just flip over for that. Verse 33, with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately. But privately to his own disciples he explained everything. I think that a lot of things, we have to be alone with Jesus to get the full impact of it. I need to do many long walks or many quiet moments, wherever your quiet place is, and alone with Jesus, and he will explain everything to you. He didn't do it in the crowd. He did it in the smaller group with just the disciples. And I think as he would call you aside, you had to tune to it. We have to turn the TV off. And I'm an addict like you are. I must turn the TV off. I might have to turn off a newspaper or two. I don't know. See, give me the list and we'll see how we're going to do on this. It's not like that at all. It's much more sacred. It's much more in your heart that we say, wow, the Lord really, because it only, the reason for it, if there was, it was so that the life of Jesus would be lived in your heart. It's not that he wants the stuff. He's not giving it to the Lord as if he needs it. It's the things that hinder me being a fully devoted disciple of Jesus. See, I'm a fully devoted church person. I'm fully devoted. I mean, I live and breathe this stuff. That's not what he's asking for. He's not asking me to throw more hours into it. It's much more personal. It's about in your heart of hearts that you have laid all and said, Jesus, whatever there is, I want to finish that. I want to run that race, and I want to do it well for you and for your glory. You see, he will guide us into all truth. When you get aside, you can just take this to the Lord. You can bypass me here today. You may think what I'm saying is not necessary. That would be fine. Okay, but let him, John 16:33, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. I really believe that. That he, the whatever I'm not sure of, he said, oh, just get alone with me, and I will show you truth about what I want for you. And so renouncing it all in order to follow Jesus. I think things are cluttered for most of us, and many of us, or all of us perhaps, schedules and all types of things. And so he says, I want you to renounce it. Well, listen, let me ask you something. Let's be honest. Do you know anybody who has renounced anything? I didn't think so. I don't know them either. You see, this is repeated several times in Scripture about renouncing all in order to follow Jesus. Whether it's giving up something, I remember a person who had felt that God spoke to them about living with their girlfriend, basically what the essence of it was. And, no big deal, I guess, in some ways. That's how some people thought. But God spoke to this person and said, there's a whisper here, you cannot be my disciple. Wow. Now you can see why the need for the alone time. It might be, of course, that's easy for some of us. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you tell him, Lord. Because maybe that's not my problem. But it's his problem. Therefore, we see it so clearly, right? We see how clearly that is. Yeah, you should get away from your girlfriend there. But he had said to me, what should I do? Now, part of me says, well, you shouldn't be over there anyway. You know, when we call for discipleship, we call for this kind of stuff. We say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, not realizing that there's something more, deeper, that has to be relinquished. And the end of that story was interesting because it was the girlfriend who phoned and said, what in the world are you teaching in that church? It actually broke up the relationship because of that. But it wasn't because I had said born-again Christians should not be doing this. I said, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, that's the issue. That's the issue. Luke chapter, I think it here, I've had it down, I think I had chapter 10, but it's Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. There's still the Gospels. I love the Gospels. Don't you love the Gospels? There's just so much interesting stuff in it. So much interesting. Verse 33. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has, all that he is, I could add, cannot be my disciple. Can I go to heaven? Sure. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You can go to heaven. He would like that. So you can go to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. We're not talking about something like that. But so therefore, all of you do not renounce all that he has, cannot be my disciples. This isn't just for the person. This isn't just for the heterosexual. It's for the homosexual. It's for everybody. All the issues that I must renounce in order to follow. And I know it sounds kind of crazy in some ways. To follow Jesus today sounds like you're following a madman or a lunatic or something. But yet we must not water down what the Master calls for. He calls for a complete relinquishing. Somebody says, yes, but that's before the age of the covenant. I'm conscious of the time when this was. But we see, that's exactly what we've done over the centuries, probably, it's really another era now with this area of grace. Oh, so the era of grace, we don't have to surrender anything then. Is that it? We just simply, it's all wonderful, and there's no commitment, no effort here, nothing. It's just, just pure grace and more grace. And I thank God for the message of grace. But I'm simply saying, not at the expense where nobody follows Christ wholeheartedly. We can't water down what the Master calls for. And so, we belong to Him. Now, anyway, this is why. Why would somebody lay down their life? Why would somebody yield all? Because of Jesus. If I want to be close to Him, really close to Him, there may be things that I have to relinquish. It doesn't mean you have to. Maybe yours will be different altogether. But I know the only way to stay true to God is to keep a persistent refusal to be interested in church work and to be interested alone in Jesus. Be very careful that you don't just speed up your activities. And it's kind of crazy because we're trying to get workers. But you know what I'm saying. It's not just a matter of taking four more things on and saying, well, I'm a real disciple now. I'm pretty well burned out. No, that's not it. You, in my mind, you could burn yourself out and miss this whole thing, what I'm saying, altogether. You're busy. You're busy, and we love busy, don't we? How are you? Busy. Oh, I'm busy. How's your week? I'm busy. I'm busy. How are you? Busy. I'm busy. I'm busy. How's it going? I'm busy. Keeping going? Yeah, I'm real busy. Isn't it funny? That's a greeting. That's how we function now. I'm busy. And your tombstone, that's what we're going to have. He was busy. Really busy. And it's not that we aren't. We probably are. But I must focus. It's not about church work. It's about my heart being so full of the Lord that I would gladly lay down anything in order that I might press a little closer yet. You see, I cannot allow any insubordination of my heart. I cannot allow any impulse, any emotion. All of these must be surrendered to the Lord. Even my emotions, my tendencies, my reactions, I must yield to the Lord. And so I over the years, I've often been asked, well, Pastor, why can't I do this? Why can't we do that? Can we do this? Can we do that? What's the minimum amount that we can get away with and still go to heaven? What is it? Just let me know. How about this? There's nothing wrong with it. A Christian can do that, can't they? Can a Christian do that? Yeah, I thought a Christian could do that. That's what I thought. I'm just checking. What else can we do? What else can we not do? And what could be more ridiculous than this conversation that I'm having with you? If I'm going to be true to the Lord, when these voices come, why can't I do this or that? My response is, for crying out loud, do it. Just do it. Just do it. Your devotion to Christ is not sufficient enough to disentangle you from 1,001 things that could develop you. You know nothing about being His servant. When you ask that question, you know nothing about being His servant. Can I do this? Is a Christian okay to do that? Why are you so on the peripheral of that thing? That's the question. If I am God's, therefore I am good for nothing else. You see, that is, should a Christian do this? Those questions are endless, and they're so fruitless because that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying so much beyond that. He's talking about the core of your being, the loves and desires of your heart. Have I yielded those to the Lord? And then I won't even need to ask that other crazy stuff because I know the whisper will come, the still small voice will come. And the Lord may say, yeah, I want that to go. I don't want that in your life. That hinders you from following me. Remember how many times he said, you cannot be my disciple. Wow. See, I think that we should write down, I wish we could sew it onto us, and just put God's or his, but God's would be fine. God apostrophe S, God's. That's why. Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Well, the point is, you probably can. Go ahead, because your heart isn't in this anyway. You have not decided to follow all. You've not decided to lay everything down, so you might as well do what. Go ahead. The Lord loves you. He died for you. The covenant of grace ensures that. So you can just go and don't even have to ask. Now, here's what's funny, what happens. I have to be careful. The moment when I say, okay, Lord, I hear you saying something to me. You're whispering to me again that you love me and you ask me to follow you. Okay, I now somebody else comes along and they said, oh, you're going to lay down your life in totality. Well, that's a big responsibility. You better get going on it. You better get busy on it. Get busy with it. And I said, oh, no, then you get thrown off. Take no responsibility for yourself. This is the one thing that if I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, here I am. As far as I know, everything I know about me, I am fully yielding to everything I know about you. I'm yours. I'm his. There. Now I'm his. Now, the mistake that we would make is to take on responsibility to maintain that. Listen, you didn't call your surrender into being, and you don't have to call it, and it's the same one who sustains it. Take no responsibility upon yourself. There is no responsibility for the life that is there. It's just something about it. One of the reasons that I'm afraid to yield myself to Jesus is that I won't be able to carry through. Right? And then I'll put my hand to the plow, and then I'll look back. And everybody will mock, and I won't ever want to do that again. But that's not... Jesus is saying, listen, don't worry about the houses, the father, the mother, the brothers and the sisters, all that. Don't worry about that. Because I'm looking after that for you. You follow me. Take no responsibility for yourself. And I know that people have breakdowns because they've taken on Christian responsibilities in their life. And it was never theirs to take on. So the religious burden came upon them. You know, 3 Bible studies a week. They were doing this. They're going out here, part of that and part of that ministry, and going to this prayer thing. And it's all good. The question is not about whether it's good or not. The question is it like that? Does the Lord say, okay, let's get to it now. You're going to be disciples. No, it's not that. I take no responsibility. Once he has my all, it's him that must guide. It's him that must direct. It's him that must tell me what to do. It's all his now. And he's quite ready to receive my surrender. He's quite ready to look after it, to maintain it. He's quite able to do that. And therefore, just follow me. Lay everything down, follow me. Wow. You see, because there are people that come along and they say, you know, think of the responsibility you've taken on to be this disciple. It's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? And you get kind of a little worried about that. But when you know the Lord, then you know that you take no responsibility for yourself. And result of that, you are as free. How free? You are as free as a child. Once you, let's say, turn that over to God, once you've yielded all, and only that still small voice is the only voice here that will know whether we've done this or not. So therefore, it's no sense coming forward, no sense kneeling. I don't know whether it'll be tonight, today, tomorrow, the next day, but all I'm saying is that when the Lord calls you to come and die, to lay your life down for him, and whatever that would mean, we don't even get the choice. He chooses all that. Then we're absolutely free. I'm just going to design myself in being a Christ follower. So what are you about? I'm a Christ follower. I'm his. It's settled. And I'm free as a child. And, you know, the whole life of it is speechless. It's indescribable. Why? Because I've got rid of the responsibility. Once you turn yourself over to the master, the servant does not worry about where you're going to go or what you're going to do. You just go. We might see, probably will see it the next Sunday. A week later, we'll see this. It may come up or not, but every one of us will know that there's been a radical surrender going on. And now, if you find yourself speechless and childlike, just a childlike delight in God, just enjoying him being his disciple, not worrying about other things, not even worry, am I committed fully? Am I surrendered? No, don't worry about that. Just that still small voice. Here today. And we know what he wants. He wants you. He wants me. It's really quite a quiet surgery, isn't it? I mean, there's no big deal. There's no trumpets. There's just knowing that if you walk out of here, when I walk out of here later, does he have my all? Am I fully devoted? You say, I need to think about this. Not for long, but yeah, I think you do need to think about it. Again, we're not asking you to try more. We're not asking you to go to more meetings. We're saying, has the Lord, that small voice, spoken to you? And what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that small, still small voice? Because it's not that kind of a voice. It's follow me. And there's so much about it. But take no responsibility for yourself. That is the Lord's. To maintain your dedication, you don't have to try harder. He will maintain that for you. I believe that very sincerely, with all my heart. I think of Psalm 55, 22. He says, cast all your burden on the Lord. One of the joys. Jesus, we follow you. And so he has to find a coin in the fish's mouth. And, you know, there's just lots of exciting things happen when you're walking with Jesus. And how wonderful when you encounter other believers that they too are Christ followers. And you can tell because of the depth of their heart. They've casted all their burden on the Lord. I think as I close here, I think freedom and simplicity. When you are a fully devoted follower of Jesus, there's a simplicity about your life. That's, you make that the main thing. And every once in a while, you'll have to readjust and say, oh boy, I can see myself. Lord, I just yield afresh to you. I feel myself getting encumbered down again. But simplicity. Making your life simplified. I say simplify your life as much as you can. Remember what Paul writes? It's kind of interesting in 1 Corinthians, is it 7? I think it's 7. Where he's speaking to the singles and to the marrieds about getting married or not getting married. And then he says, listen, if you're a woman, don't seek a husband. If you're a husband, don't seek a wife. Don't worry about that. And then he kind of pauses and he says, listen, the only reason I'm telling you this, he said, I don't care if you do it or don't do it, but the only reason I'm telling you this is it to make your life simpler. Then a good reason. So you can concentrate on the Lord. That's I'm not talking about the subject as much as just this idea of the freedom. So freedom and simplicity mark the life of a Christ follower. God wants our lives to be absolutely centered on him. And with that, I think, comes a new humility. We've surrendered all, as much as we know. The voice has spoken to us. You know, and we simply go out from here, and for hopefully for the rest of our lives, is that we go out fully surrendered to him. We belong to another. That's what, as I pray for us together, this is what I would pray for. That you would say, I'm in love with another, capital A, another. It's not about working harder, trying harder, doing harder. something else altogether different. But I can feel in my own heart. He says, now Owen, I've got an agenda for you. And we're going to walk together on this thing. Pretty exciting, isn't it? Pretty exciting. So, let's do it. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord, we hear it loud and clear. We've been called to follow you and to be your disciple. We thank you for the grace of Jesus, the cross, the blood, the resurrection, second coming, all that wonderful stuff. But on a very deep level, Lord, we know there's a simplicity of just following you. Thank you. I pray that all this week we will, in our quiet times, encounter you speaking again to us. And Lord, we want to respond even here this morning. We want to say thank you. Thank you for talking to us. We are yours to do with what you want, in the way you want. We're taking all restrictions off. Whatever you want is fine, as long as we belong to you. And we praise you. Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you for being here. We're going to invite you to come to the patio. You can sit quietly in prayer if you'd like to. And rest, we want to invite you out to the patio. I think it's fairly dry out there. Thank you so much for coming this morning, and the Lord bless you. Give you a great week. And we'll see you soon.